listening to the sermon podcast of Dan Roschke, pastor of Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church in La Mesa, California. For more information about Shepherd of the Valley, visit our website at www.svlc.org. But now, here's Pastor Dan and his sermon for today.
Grace to you and peace this day from God, who comes to us in peace, even amid the turmoil and the terrors of this time and of this world. Amen. As many of you know, a few weeks ago, we had the opportunity, our family had the opportunity to go back to St. Louis. We were gone for a Sunday. Darren Johnson was here, and it was for the reason my grandpa turned 90 years old. And it was a wonderful time, albeit freezing cold there. It was 4 degrees in St. Louis. My grandparents are so generous. They made it possible for our whole family, all four of us, to fly for the quick weekend, to be together with family. And my brothers were there, my parents were there, and all cousins were there. So we were all together. It was really a wonderful time. And it was also the first time that our daughter Katie, in her memory, can remember flying in an airplane. So that was a big deal too. So there was a lot of buildup for the flight, and I was a little bit jealous, you know, because I love flying so much. I was a little bit jealous that she was experiencing all this for the very first time. And like many of us, the first time we fly, if you can remember back, if it's been a long, long time, perhaps there's a certain mystique about the clouds when you go up in an airplane. And Katie was certainly very curious what was going to happen. She said, what's going to happen? Are we going to hit the clouds? You know, I mean, you don't know if you've never done it before. And so we had a lot of conversation about this. And then when we got up above the clouds, she looked down at the clouds and she was still puzzled, even though we had just flown right through them. It was a cloudy day in San Diego when we went up, and she looked down on the plane. She was sitting right next to me by the window, and she said, you know, can people walk on the clouds because they look so thick? Or maybe bounce on the clouds? And I said, no, you know, we would fall right through the clouds. You know, you go right through the clouds. And she was sort of puzzled. She said, but the Care Bears can. That was sweet. And then in the descent, it was interesting as well. As we got to our destination, we came down, and she learned, as many of us have learned, that it can get a little bit bumpy. It was a little bit bumpy and choppy for us on that particular flight. I just wanted to talk a little bit, take us a little bit up into the clouds this morning as we get into the story of the transfiguration, which all happens in the clouds. We get to hear again of Jesus' journey into the clouds with Peter, James, and John. And in the story in Matthew's gospel, it's from the cloud that the great voice speaks. And I don't, of course, mean the cloud that we use nowadays, the technical cloud. No, it's from this white cloud that this voice speaks. This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him. We heard that at the baptism of Jesus in John's gospel just a couple weeks ago. If you missed it, we hear it again. This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him. But before that voice happens, some other things happen. The disciples go hiking up the mountain, and we don't know exactly which mountain. There's multiple mountains, but we think that it's on the west side of the Sea of Galilee, for those of you who are interested in that geography of the Bible. We also know that it's similar to the kind of mountains that we have here. So imagine Mount Helix. It's a good hardy day's hike to the top, but that's about the size of the mount that Jesus goes to the top of with the disciples. So take Mount Helix, put that in your mind, and just imagine hiking up to the top of it. Maybe you have. They're out of breath and sweaty at the top after hiking all day. And what a wonderful hike that must be to take with Jesus. And then just as soon as they get up there, trying to catch their breath, suddenly Jesus is transfigured before them. Suddenly his face is bright, his clothes are white, and as if that wasn't enough, suddenly they see Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. So this is the ultimate mountaintop experience. Remember that these guys were Jewish, and they had known and studied and read the words of Moses and Elijah. These were like their heroes from childhood, and they recognized them right away. And let's give Peter some credit. A lot of times we give Peter a hard time. But let's give Peter some credit. He recognizes that he's in the presence of greatness. And he says right away, as soon as it happens, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. Let's build something." It's amazing that this text comes on the day that we as a congregation gather together and talk about building something. And it was not planned that way. This congregational meeting was rescheduled. And here we find ourselves on this day reading this text where Peter says, "Lord, it's good for us to be here. Let's build something." Peter gets ragged on a lot, but let's give him some credit. He knew a good thing when he saw it, and he wanted to celebrate it. He wanted to commemorate it. He wanted to keep this whole experience close. But almost as soon as he says this, the cloud envelops them. We've been in the clouds all week here in San Diego. Thanks be to God. We've finally gotten some rain. And so we know, especially, that clouds aren't all bad. They're not dark and foreboding. The clouds are good. We pick up our produce with local CSA. We go to the La Mesa Community Center. We get a box of produce. And for the last couple of weeks, when I go, the farmer is just standing there with his arms sort of shrugged. You know, there's no rain. And it's affecting things. And he's scared. You can see the fear in his eyes. I mean, this drought is real that we're facing right now. It hasn't touched all of us just yet, but I can tell you for the farmers, it's very real for them. So thanks be to God for the clouds and the rain that comes. And for us who are Christians, the clouds have even more meaning because the clouds become an image of baptism. We get to look out and see the clouds up on top of Mount Miguel. Have you ever come down Avocado and you see this beautiful cloud just resting on top of Mount Miguel? It happens other places too, of course. We have so many great visuals here that we can live into these biblical texts. This happens all through the Bible. Mount Sinai, there's this cloud just enveloping the top of the mountain. And there in that cloud, the disciples hear the voice, "This is my son, the beloved." Out of these three, Moses, who represented the law, Elijah, who represented the prophets, and Jesus. Out of these three, listen to Jesus. And then it says the disciples fell on their face in fear. They were terrified, probably because everything about this experience was so strange and frightening. But I think also because they had listened to Moses and Elijah all those years, and now they were hearing, "Listen to Jesus instead." Everything is changing, and when everything changes, we all know how terrifying that can be. They've fallen on their face in both fear and also in worship. I think how bright it must have been on top of that mountain. As Katie and I went through the clouds on that flight to St. Louis, I remember how quickly she noticed how bright the clouds can be when the light is shining through and the light just dispenses all through the cloud and it's so bright. She kept shutting the shade. And I kept lifting it up, you know, and she kept shutting it again. "It's too bright, Daddy, it's too bright," you know, and I said, "Nope, we're going to look." I said, "It gets better, Katie, it gets better, just wait. And sure enough, just as quickly as all that glory and majesty and mystique came on back to the disciples, it was gone. And Jesus is reaching out his hand to them. He's touching them. The text says in Matthew. One of my colleagues this week, we study scripture together on Wednesday, colleagues, pastors in San Diego, and she noticed, she said, "You know, I never caught this before, that Jesus reaches out and actually touches the disciples on that mountain." It's given me reason to pause and reflect on that touch. What was it? Was it a healing touch? It was a comforting touch, a compassionate touch. Maybe you've experienced that kind of a touch. And we have to be careful in this day and age when we talk about touch. So often touch is either, it's a romantic kind of touch, or it is an inappropriate kind of touch, or maybe even an abusive kind of touch. But this is a different kind of touch altogether. One time I had this experience where I was going through a hard time and I confided in a pastor about what was going on. And I remember she reached out at the end of my kind of confession and she touched me. And it wasn't romantic, and it wasn't inappropriate. It was very compassionate. She just looked in my eyes, and she just said, I'm so sorry about what you're going through. And it was very real. Maybe you've had some kind of an experience like that too, someone touching you in a very loving and compassionate way that's neither romantic nor inappropriate. See, it gets even better. After that bright cloud goes away, then Jesus reaches out and touches his disciples, the Gospel of Matthew tells us. And then he says to them, "Get up. Don't be afraid." And then they go back down the mountain. It's such a mixture, this story, there's just so much here. Such a mixture of exhaustion and then joy and then anticipation and then clarity. You know, Peter thinks he sees it all and then suddenly, oh, it's all cloudy again. Confusion follows and then knee-crumbling fear and then Jesus' compassion reaching out and then his guidance back down the mountain. Trust me, he says, let's go down the mountain. Let's go back. And at the end, Jesus takes them off the mountain and the clouds make things bumpy as they descend. But they still follow. This Sunday, as I've said before, this morning marks a turning point for us as we turn from the twinkling glow of the Christmas and Epiphany stars toward the wilderness of Lent. This week comes Ash Wednesday, where we get our bearings. We check our compasses or our GPS and realize, wait a minute, we got off track. Wait a minute, we need to turn around here. Turning is a major theme for us here during Lent. It's tough admitting that you're lost, that you need to turn around. It's tough admitting that you're broken or that you're confused or that you're scared. But let's not forget this transfiguration moment this Sunday where Christ takes our head in his hand compassionately and tells us, get up, keep going, don't be afraid, I'm not leaving you, follow me. We descend the mountain, albeit a little bumpy. We descend the mountain having glimpsed a vision. The vision of the resurrection, the vision of the glory of Jesus Christ. We know now, we're reminded at least again, that we need to listen to what this Jesus has to say to us. And that plays out, truly, in our daily lives. Here in the congregation, what does Christ want for this congregation? We have to decide that. Soon, maybe not today, we won't take a vote, but soon we need to decide, what does Christ want for this congregation as we propose a building design today? What does Christ want for us? That's the question we ultimately have to go home and wrestle with this day. This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him. Well, what is he saying to us now in this time and in this place? And how does this work out for you personally? What is Christ saying to you these days? How are you being called down into the beautiful and challenging valleys of Monday to Friday? Sometimes the descent can be bumpy, but wait, it gets better. And let us give thanks here in worship that we don't go down into the valley alone. We have one another, thanks be to God, and we have our great shepherd of the sheep. Jesus doesn't just push the disciples down the mountain and keep hanging back with Elijah and Moses. No, he goes with them. He leads us down. He goes before us, shepherding us into the valleys. Christ's body and blood are food for the journey. The waters that gush from the clouds and the font remind us of God's eternal promises. And so we go now, led in love and pointed to do the same, this day and always. Amen.
From all of us at Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church, thank you for listening. Check us out again soon. And to learn more about our national church body, Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, visit www.elca.org. Goodbye for now, and remember, God's outpouring of grace and peace never runs dry. Here's to a new day.